Good morning again.
Good morning.
Glad to be here. You know, I've been to a number of Christmas programs by the young people of the churches over the years of ministry. I've learned to watch those that are in charge. And you know, I saw every one of them give a sigh of relief. Especially when you're working with some of the younger children. I watched the young ones go down today, and I don't know if you noticed it, but I thought it was something like an exercise in herding cats. They will go their own way. But thanks to those who put the program on, it was truly enjoyable. We're going to turn to a passage in Scripture. It's come from the Gospel of Luke, a little different perhaps than the one that I published, but I think the story is familiar enough. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 34. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and was greeted by Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." The word of the Lord. We've been looking at Mary the last few weeks. We've been picturing her as it most likely was, that she was a young girl, probably 13 years of age. Normally, it was about that time that girls would become engaged to be married later, probably at the age of 16, but that time frame. And focusing on it that way, we began to draw some of the messages that were there. The first week, we learned that what happened in the Bible, understanding this unexpected pregnancy, was that it gave a very clear indication, first of all, of the fatherhood of Jesus. And then notice the miracle that God would have cared that much to send a Savior. Last week we turned to the matter of Mary and some of the things that were troubling. Certainly being pregnant at the age of 13 is not a happy experience for most young ladies, and certainly not for Mary either. Nothing would really change, because humanly we're still very capable of being very critical, very judgmental. But the thing that Mary was most interested in and most troubled by was the meaning of the words of the angel. We looked at several of those last Sunday as well. Today, we turn to this and we look at Mary and the response of Mary and the faith of Mary. Occasionally, I'm involved in some conversations with young people. Occasionally, also alongside of young people's leaders. Now, I recall one not that long ago, where a young person's leader was talking to one of the young people, and was a young person that was in a certain amount of trouble. And as the leader was expressing their concern and trying to give some helpful advice, when that advice came to an end, that young person turned to the leader and said, "Whatever." I thought, wow, what a response. And yet it's a response that's not uncommon with young people. You'll approach them and you'll try to give them some words. I'm not sure they always understand them as wisdom. Whatever. Adults are perhaps no better. Adults sometimes are involved in situations where there's the give and take of what needs to be done conversationally. And as they do that, they just say, well, let's just go with the flow. There's a kind of attitude expressed by the young person with their expression, whatever, or an adult with the expression, we'll just go with the flow, But somehow they live in a world where everything is basically out of control. There's no reason or rhyme to any of it. Things go good for a while, they go bad for a while. The main thing to do is to keep your head down and hope it doesn't get too bad. It's almost as though they're sort of a pinball machine, and there is things just bouncing from here to there, and they have no control over it, whatever, until occasionally a cosmic flipper bats them back into the game again, and they start bouncing around once more. And it's just here to there and whatever. You see, that's an attitude, that life has no purpose and has no meaning. I find it interesting that Rick Warren, the pastor in California, has written some books and become a multimillionaire doing it, talking about the purpose-driven life. And he did so well with that when he wrote another book, The Purpose-Driven Church. He now lives in a way that most of us would have some difficulty living, by reverse tithing. He tithes 90% of his income and lives on 10% of it. I'm not ready for that either, but what he's done is he's turned to you and has said to you and to me, you know, the life that we have is a life that has purpose and meaning. Now, we may not understand it all, but it is a life that has a direction, it has challenges. All of it is meaningful in context because we stand before God and God is there. And so when Mary hears the message of the angel, when she listens with concern and troubled spirit to all the things that he is saying, it's most interesting to see her response. Because her response was not whatever. Her response was, I'm here. May what you are saying truly happen with me. I realize that what the angel had said was that she was going to be a mother. A mother in an unprepared time. That she was going to be bearing the child that was going to be the savior of the world. Huge, huge responsibility. And when she was confronted with this, she was certainly troubled at first. You know, who is equal to this kind of a task? But she then turns and actively engages in what the angel has said. May it be exactly as you have said to me. May I be not only the mother of this child, but may I be the mother of this child who is going to be this special kind of child. And she actively engaged in what God was doing. I think it would be very obvious that it makes no sense. If you're involved in your life and you're saying, I begin to discern that there is this movement that God is making me go, that there's these goals that are ahead of us, and you would just step back and say, well, whatever. The challenge is that you also are going to be engaged and are going to recognize that these are things that God is working with step by step as you go along. I could talk to you a little bit more about this, but I actually am going to follow up with it. I believe somewhere in January, we'll begin looking at this subject that I think is a great deal of interest for most people. How do I get along with the will of God? How do I begin to discern, and how does this all focus together? But, you know, I had the program this morning, so I can't do all of that all at once. We'll stretch it out and pick up that subject again, but I promise you we'll get there. But the one part of the story so far that I find so very interesting is the way in which God was dealing with Mary in her situation. Because her situation was a very difficult one. And I think at the very beginning of the messages that we've had here in the season of Advent, I turned to you and I said, did you ever stop to realize the silences of the Christmas season? The silences of the parents of Mary. Not one word is given what happened when Mary told her mother or her father. Or the silence that took place when the birth of Jesus took place in Bethlehem. It was the place where all of Joseph's relatives were supposed to be. Because that was why he went. He came back there. Now, whether there was any of Joseph's parents there, possibly. You know, today, if that were the case, there'd be the grandparents there by the crib side saying, oh, let me hold him first. I know, because I'm a grandparent. You know? There's always that kind of interaction. Yet, to get people there, God sent the angels to get the shepherds to come. Not a single relative. The Magi, the wise men, came later on. But not one mention in all of the Bible of any relative except one, Elizabeth. All the rest were silent. Now maybe it's assuming a little bit too much to realize that that silence didn't mean rejection. But given the circumstances, it's not hard to come to the conclusion that what Mary was dealing with was a king-sized measure of judgment and resistance and rejection. Except one. You know, if we had a young lady today that was 13 and discovered that she was going to be a mother, we have ways of surrounding them with support systems. True? I mean, I happen to be involved in deacon's ministry, and one of the things we do in the area around Allendale is there's a family life center where young girls like Mary are there, surrounded not only with a place to stay, but with counseling and all sorts of other things, because that's a traumatic thing to be a part of. We may not be quite as judgmental as the people were in Jesus' day, but there's still a lot of it to go around, and there are still tremendous burdens that are there. And yet God turned to Mary at this time, and for a support system gave her one person, Elizabeth. Yet did you notice how Elizabeth responded? As soon as Mary came and said hello to Elizabeth, John the Baptist, the baby in her womb, must have given her one wallop of a kick. It's recorded in Scripture. And Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit of God. And she prophesied what's going to happen to not only Mary, but also the child. All this enabled Mary to come in faith, trusting what the message of the angel was. Because she had to say, not only do I believe what you're saying, but when you turn to me and you give me this very short promise, the Lord is with you, I cannot just whatever my way through what's going ahead, but I can actively step and go through deliberately, obediently, and even enthusiastically through what would be a difficult time, because I know that you have provided me a support system that is not just simply relative, but it is the hand and the blessing and the leading of God, sometimes directly, sometimes through others, to be able to lead me to the point where the purpose of God is fully met. I think as I look at life, as I look at what has happened in my own life, and I'm sure in yours as well, that kind of assurance, that kind of trusting, is the keystone that makes life workable and lovable. God bless us together. Will you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, a time of festivity, the Christmas season, winding down just one of the few weeks before the time we celebrate the birth of Christ. We pray that your blessings will be with us. And as we live our lives, may we have the desire to seek out the leading of your Spirit, the way that you have prepared for us, a way that becomes clear enough that we not just simply say we'll get our way through it passively, but we will actively seek your will. Bless those among us who are the comforters, those who are the encouragers, those who take the role of Elizabeth to be filled with the Spirit to give the encouragement for a task sometimes very difficult. Help us to trust you, to know that you